Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, I mean, I'll still tune into the game, but he's going to be on the sideline.
That game is always such a disappointment because it's the earliest game. Nobody who's going to sniff the field in September is going to be on that field.
You get the sense that the practices they hold with other teams.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, those are sort of replacing preseason games in general. Preseason is, I don't think they're really going to even have it in 5 years. The trend is just so against it. But anyway, your point of bringing up preseason is...
Let's get to it, Pete. Let's hit it.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Well, has to make a decision. Coming off the Achilles. Trying to get some rhythm with the teammates. Is he going to play this preseason? Here's his head coach, Robert Saleh. Says it's unlikely that Rodgers will play in the preseason, but did leave the door open just a little bit.
We haven't really talked about it. My instinct right now as I stand here is we'll see.
Instinct is we'll see.
My instinct is no, but I want to leave it open that that third game is the one where we're deciding. So he definitely won't play the first two, but the discussion on the third one, we just haven't quite had yet.
Yeah, smart of Saleh. Let Aaron speak for himself on this stuff, because you don't need an unforced error like you did with the unexcused absence, excused absence, all that stuff. Just let Aaron talk for himself. He's not a rookie. He's, what, 28, 19 years into this thing?
Wait. You're telling me the player should say, is he playing the the coach has to say that.
But this is Rodgers.
No. I mean, specifically this. He's definitely not deciding. Wait, you're saying Rodgers gets to decide when he comes in and out of a training camp, of a preseason game?
Definitely.
I think the coaches always decide who plays in preseason.
Right. I understand that for 99% of the roster. I think Rodgers is clearly playing by a different set of rules. And I think that they trust him to know his body and what he needs. I think the same thing would have been true for Tom Brady in Tampa. I think it's just the respect of that a veteran would get with a coach.
Okay. Yeah, okay, regardless. So he's obviously not going to play now. Your question, will they have a slow start? I mean, a lot of the guys aren't going to play, right? So I don't know. I tend to think, like, this is not a problem for the Jets. I did think that it kind of stinks that he'll get his first live action in week one. But that being said, I'm not going to ding them at all for not playing him. Like, do you think this is a problem as far as chemistry or all that?
No, I don't, because I think Rodgers is putting in the work in terms of, you know, getting to know the teammates and all of that stuff. But there is just a reality of the schedule, which is a bit challenging for the Jets, no doubt. You start the season at San Francisco on Monday Night Football, so you're short week to go into another road game in Tennessee.
By the way, they lost Rodgers in week one last year. And they won that game.
They did
crazy.
Win that game.
That's the only thing that makes me nervous for San Francisco. Is like, oh, watch out for the weird Jets win.
Yeah, the Tyrod Taylor is the backup now. So it's San Francisco, but then you're short week already at Tennessee. Then you get a little bit of a reprieve with the Patriots and the Denver Broncos. And then you get on a flight to go to Europe to play a game against the Vikings in London.
Well, I like everything I'm seeing right now. That's a pretty good run. I mean, you get J.J. McCarthy in London. I think the Jets are going to eat that guy alive.
Well,
or Sam Darnold.
They might. I mean, those London games are always just weird, though.
That's true.
I hate betting them. Something always weird. I just think it's the beginning. There's probably not going to be a team. We know we talk about the Cowboys quite a bit, but there's not going to be a team more scrutinized in the beginning of the season, I think, than the New York Jets Aaron Rodgers team.
Wow,
Say they drop their first two. I don't know. They get off to a 3-2 start going into that Buffalo game, another Monday nighter.
I'm looking. I mean, yes, you say that, but it has to be the easiest first 8 weeks in the league. I mean, they have at San Francisco tough, but at Tennessee, Tennessee's way down there on the win total. New England's probably the second worst team in the league or worst team in the league. Denver's third worst team in the league. Minnesota's fifth worst team in the league. Buffalo's good. Pittsburgh has not got a high win total this year. And then New England again. So they get both their Patriots games early. I think that's a really good thing. Get a little momentum because you have to think people are going to be feeding off the Patriots this year.
Yeah, it's not looking great. Yeah. I mean, especially now with the news about Christian Barmore and he's dealing with blood clots.
Yeah,
you got defensive guys like Matthew Judon who are upset with their contracts. The whole thing is, it's just going to be, a tough transition out of the Belichick era. But for the Jets, you know, listen, it's about Rodgers staying healthy, number one, first and foremost. And this travel schedule, to me, is, I think, what I'm looking at. You have a guy who is not going to play any preseason, it looks like, who's coming off this big injury at his advanced age. So he starts off the season on a short week with two road games. Two games later, they're on a plane going to London. Like, I doubt anyone loves this from a scheduling standpoint to try to take care of that Achilles.
I hear you. I don't know. I can't imagine. I guess the home road, they do have, they have a run, two road games, three of the next four at home, then two road games. But who else you want? Who are you going to play? You don't have the Panthers on there. You don't have the Cardinals on there. Other than that, they have the Cardinals actually in week nine. This really couldn't be easier for Aaron Rodgers. I think if he's upright, they're at least going to be flirting with 500. I mean, there's no way this isn't going to work to some extent.
Well, listen, the thing I'm actually most concerned about, if I'm a Jets fan or if I'm the actual Jets, is that San Francisco defense. That first week, I'll tell you what, the offensive line for the Jets better get some preseason snaps in. Because whether Rodgers does or not, this offensive line needs to be like peaking week one. Because I don't want to see some of these pass rushers, and I don't want Nick Bosa getting free to Aaron Rodgers. Because you can't expect that Rodgers is going to be moving exactly how he did before. And so if I've got pass rushers and I've got a 49ers defense that I think, you know, we're talking about how they kind of fell off last year.
Yeah, which defense? Are you giving me the 2 years? Are you in a time machine and you're bringing back 2 years ago defense or last year's defense? Because last year's defense, if you block Bosa, you basically have 18 seconds back then.
Okay, but again, I think they've got a new defensive coordinator. I know they have a new defensive coordinator, and I'm sure they feel like this has got to become, again, one of the strengths of our team. And now you're going to get unleashed on a Jets offensive line that, while improved, was part of the problem last year. And a lot of people believe that if it hadn't happened four snaps into the season with Rodgers, it was only a matter of time before he really got crunched back there.
Yeah, and that's why I would hope that the coaching staff would be really careful. I'd do a lot of Breece Hall against the Niners, right? Just because if not, Rodgers is easing in. I honestly think this works out, Maggie. I think, like, you rip the Band-Aid, you have a tough game against the Niners week one, but then, man, you cannot ask for a better run than what they have.
Yeah. I think London is just a bummer, though.
Yeah, but you're playing the Vikings with either Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy. If you have to go to London, I mean, this is a ripe situation for a W. Their defense should destroy that team. Brian Flores should be... I don't even think you need to put an offense. You put Tim Boyle in at quarterback, you're going to win that game. I think this is a great schedule for them. I think they're going to be totally fine if Aaron Rodgers is healthy. And by the way, Tyrod Taylor seems, he's the backup. That seems like an upgrade over what they kind of had going last year.
Zach Wilson.
Giants Hard Knocks, they were talking about the backup quarterback, and they're like, we just can't afford Tyrod Taylor anymore. So, and you had him in Buffalo. He'll win you some games. He fits this team. It's going to be defense and running. I think the schedule is good. Warren Sharp, who does the strength of schedule based on the Vegas odds, has the Jets as the fourth easiest overall schedule this year. So they have, everything's lining up for, I think the basement is 500, like the bottom. I think there is no way they don't eke out wins because they won a bunch of games last year with nobody at quarterback.
7-10, 855-212-4227 is the number to call. Asking you, I mean, is it possible that Jets getting off to a slow start? I mean, listen, you're able to overcome it. As long as Rodgers is healthy, you will be able to overcome it. But they might have the second easiest schedule, like when all is said and done. Fourth easiest, right, when all is said and done, and you're looking at, you know, on paper. I'm just looking at where do you start, which is San Francisco, and then the travel schedule. It's a lot. And if a guy's not playing preseason at all, we think, then it caught our eye. EJ wants to weigh in. You're the Jets fan around here.
Actually, I 100% disagree. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL through 8 weeks. They definitely, on paper, have the easiest schedule. Travel, you guys are scared of London. Like, you got to go to London. That's what happens in this league. So I think they're going to be fine. Go ahead.
My team has to play in London. What's up, EJ?
No, I just feel like if this would be different, I think if Rodgers had played last season. If Rodgers plays some game last season, let's say he even gets hurt 3-4 weeks in the season. This is a guy who has not played almost for like 2 years at this point. That's what worries me as a Jets fan, is if he had been playing and comfortable, that's one thing. But he has not played at all, didn't play last year. Now your first week, you're in San Francisco, then you have another road game, and then
at 2 weeks you're flying to London.
I mean, I don't think Tennessee is a disaster. Like, I know you're down on them.
Well, I'm just saying
that they're respectable. Like, I don't think that's a Jets you wake up and walk off the bus and you beat Tennessee on the road.
Tennessee has the fourth lowest win total in the NFL. If the Titans aren't a disaster, then who is a disaster? I'm just saying, like, you on paper, like, that's who you want to play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Titans did beat Jacksonville late in season last year. I mean, they had some good wins last year, and they've done a lot in free agency.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that London trip, I know it's the Vikings. Again, another team that I'm not quite as down on as you. I think Sam Darnold, if he's still starting, might be a little bit of a threat. That's what concerns me. If Rodgers has been playing and comfortable, that's one thing. But him coming off of an Achilles, doing all this travel, trying to get his footing back, and now he's not going to play preseason, I just think the Jets might be susceptible to a 2-3 start. Doesn't mean the season's over, but that would put them behind April.
855-212-4227. So are we fearing a slow start here for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? Maybe he should play a little preseason. And I'll tell you, I do think he gets to decide.
Yeah.
I think if he went to Robert Saleh and said, listen, I really need some snaps here in the preseason, Saleh would say, okay. I think the power dynamic in this team is Rodgers 1 and head coach 2. And I think Saleh knows that. Rodgers knows it. Everyone in the building understands that he's got a lot of power here. You are welcome to weigh in. Can I give you some update on the early poll results?
Sure.
Okay. At Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, or X rather. Are the Cowboys still America's team? 83% say no.
Right. What does that mean?
It means they don't have the title anymore.
Okay, show me some numbers that prove that.
Well, not everything's a math equation, Perloff. You got to feel it.
Yeah, see, that's where I have problems. Like, just because people are saying they're not America's team, when 37 million watched them whoop the Giants in week 7, like, what is that? So that people are ignoring that.
Has a lot to do with the New York market.
And there's always these excuses. There's like, oh, people are following football in a different way. What about the streaming numbers? What about this? The Cowboys are must-watch TV, and nothing has changed about that. In fact, this year, when they're imploding because they don't know who their quarterback's going to be next year, they're going to double their ratings. It's going to be an explosion of Cowboyness.
Maybe the first quarter of that game got a high rating when they played the Giants. Didn't they beat them 40-0?
Yeah, and still, it was like the fourth highest watch game of the year. Yeah. I'll tell you, it's a Cowboy. There's a numbers are numbers, Maggie.
Yeah,
they got a monster rating.
Who was watching after halftime?
I have no idea, but they still do.
Anyone who was live betting, I think that's our last people. Let's go to the phones. Rich is in California, wants to talk about the Jets. Good morning, Rich.
Yeah, I don't feel particularly sorry for the Jets. They knew what they were getting when they got Aaron Rodgers. He's a 40-year-old quarterback with long miles on those legs, a questionable Achilles, and maybe one or two bubbles shy of plum. The fact of the matter is, I pray that they have a really good backup quarterback because they're going to need him. I don't know that you can sit there and put an entire season on a guy who should probably be retired.
Well, Rich, not put in the season, more than happy to hand over the keys to the organization to Rodgers. I mean, it's more the keys, everything.
Well, you know what? Be careful what you wish for, because you may end up getting it.
Yeah, well, you're right about that, Rich. Appreciate you weighing in. No, this is it. And they have Tyrod Taylor as a backup, and Tyrod's good, but he's also 34 and also injury prone. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, you know, there's a reason why you saw the Giants last year have to go to Tommy DeVito. This is tough here for guys who are in their 30s.
Yeah.
So,
gosh, I'm obsessed with the Jets schedule. I had no idea what was going on here.
I don't think anyone feels bad for the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about that. Yeah, they definitely made their bed. They were more than happy to get Rodgers, I think, at near, almost any cost. I mean, yeah, they've been in the quarterback wilderness.
It's a great point. I think they won by getting Rodgers. They had to take, they know the risk with an older injured quarterback. That's the game they had to play because they missed with Zach Wilson. That's just a fact. Did they draft another quarterback high? I know Darnold. They had Darnold. They missed with Darnold. So if you miss with the number 3 overall pick and the number 2 overall pick, yeah, you're desperate. I think they know they were desperate. Yeah, they didn't want Aaron Rodgers at 40. They'd rather have him at 30, but that wasn't available to them. They're about to kick some butt. This schedule is amazing, Maggie. It's amazing. Just Aaron Rodgers, just stay upright, hand the ball off to Breece Hall. I like what you guys are saying. Like, yeah, it's a tough start with the travel, but that's why you protect Rodgers. As a coach, Maggie, if you were the coach of the Jets, wouldn't you be very conservative and sort of understand that he doesn't have a ramp up, so we're just going to hand the ball off a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it is a great defense. You do have this good run game, but now you do still have Aaron Rodgers. Like, you didn't bring him in to hand the ball off 35 times. That's what J.J. McCarthy is going to be doing, what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
You have New England in week 3 with Jacoby Brissett starting. You do not need to have Aaron Rodgers throw the ball 45 times to win that game.
You better not. That's
conservative.
A bad sign.
Conservative. Stay conservative, Meg.
855-212-4227. If you want to watch the show, come on in. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and at Maggie Gray on X if you want to watch on that platform as well. You can listen to the show anywhere on the free Odyssey app. It's awesome, crystal clear, easy to download. Also, Sirius XM channel 158. Okay, a lot to do, including a little game we like to call Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I came in this morning. I was hoping nobody brought up the sport of baseball because I hate it. It's cruel. It's mean. I watched my Phillies come back to tie the Yankees and blow it in extra innings. Ugh.
Because they stink.
There's nothing worse than losing a baseball game, Maggie. It's a slow, agonizing. It's not like football where, boom, it's over. Baseball is just a terrible water drip of defeat. But anyway, there was a lot of big moves yesterday. I know one team caught your eye big time.
Yeah, the LA Dodgers. I mean, you had Jack Flaherty, and that's just that amongst all the other guys and the depth pieces that they've added. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could you not say that it would be a massive disappointment if the Dodgers don't win the World Series? And I know they have guys on the IL all over the place, but I mean, this is, you can't build a team that has more depth, mm-hmm. more upside. They've got Shohei. They've got Mookie Betts will come back. Freddie Freeman will come back. I mean, just it's star power. It's depth pieces. It's everything. If they don't win, this is a massive disappointment.
What's different about this year and every other year when they win 108 games?
Well, can we start holding the Dodgers' feet to the fire a little bit more?
In 2022, they won 111 regular season games and lost in the NLDS 3-1.
And I do not give them the 2020 title.
They lost.
60-game season for baseball is absolute just zero. It's nothing.
By the way, it got swept last year and they won 100 regular season games. Like, what are you talking about? Baseball makes no sense in the postseason. You can't hold anyone's feet to the fire because the Diamondbacks and the Rangers were in the World Series last year.
Well, the Rangers actually had this massive payroll, and so it's not that crazy that they would have been in the World Series last year. It's just they surprised some people. I think that is totally letting these teams off the hook. The ones that really go in, all in, massive contract. Shohei Ohtani took $680 million deferred so that they could do stuff like this and keep this big team, and then to say, well, it's a crapshoot in the postseason. That is totally letting them off the hook.
What are you supposed to do? I mean, I don't understand. Like, the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, like, you can't buy a World Series title anymore. I don't know why. You could, maybe you could do it at a certain point, but there were Dodgers teams where, remember when Bellinger was still good? I mean, they were just basically, you had 30 homers at every spot, and then you had 3 Cy Young pitchers. It doesn't matter. Something happens in the postseason. It's just a matter of staying healthy and getting hot. And that's why you can't hold their feet to the fire. You just can't, because everyone understands the game here.
You know what's remarkable?
What's that?
The Dodgers came into this season with about 4,000 starting pitchers.
I know.
All hurt,
and they had to trade for a starting pitcher at the deadline. The Dodgers are the new incarnation of the 90s, 2000s Braves, but even worse, because they're better. And they have not been able to figure it out in the postseason.
Yeah.
Put the 2021 championship aside. The spotlight's on Dave Roberts. He needs to capitalize, and they need to win either this year or next year or within the next 3 years, because To me, I've always criticized him because he has not been able to finish the job. They criticized Don Mattingly to doing the same thing. It should be on Dave Roberts as well.
Well, I was wondering, yeah, I love the Braves analogy because it's shocking to me that that pitching staff only won one World Series. It feels more like the 2000s Yankees to me, where they just bought MVPs and Cy Youngs and spent all the money and got to some World Series and had success but couldn't get over the top. Which one do you think is a better analogy, the Yankees or the Braves?
I think it's more like the Braves. I mean, the Yankees at least did win. I know the Dodgers won in 2020, but who was actually buying that title? That is, any baseball fan knows that that's 100% Fugazi title. And if I'm a Dodger fan, even I'm like, I can't be proud of that title. I mean, I'm glad baseball gave us a little something to watch. I appreciated it, entertainment during the pandemic, but come on. That's nothing. We've seen teams get off to really good 60-game starts and it completely fall apart. It's just not real. We've been talking about the Jets and their schedule. They got to go to London to play the Vikings in week 5. So start in San Francisco. This is Aaron Rodgers, who is not going to be playing the preseason, we don't think. At San Francisco, then on the road to Tennessee. Then you get home a little reprieve against the Patriots and the Denver Broncos. And then, boom, on a flight to London to play the Vikings. Scott's in California. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear, bud. What's up?
All right. Hey, you were just mentioning the Vikings-Jets game and talking about Aaron Rodgers and how that's hard on him. But I was just wondering this. The Vikings are picked by by the way, it's great to hear you guys. I'm Scott from California. Ardent Viking fan.
We remember, Scott. So glad there you're doing well.
Yeah, you too, guys. Congratulations on your success. It seems to be going really well.
Oh, thanks.
So I'm still going to be pulling for the Vikings. And here's my little beef with that. The London trip is going to happen week 5. Week 6 is the bye. That means 12 consecutive game weeks after that. And how did they decide? Now, the Vikings, I'm still going to pull for them. But how did they decide the Vikings take the hit for that being a home game in London? Guys, congratulations.
That's a Vikings home game?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, they both listed a verse on there. Yeah, I mean, but Scott, what's the difference? This is a rebuilding year. Do you have any expectations to be anything else?
No one uses the term rebuilding anymore. But you just said that, J.J. McCarthy's going to hand off like he did in Michigan. And, probably what happened. But we got to see, they're professional football players. We got to see how they play the game. But I just want to know if they flip a coin for a home team on a foreign soil or how that works.
There's a formula to it, Scott. Thank you so much. Great to hear from you. Glad you're doing well. A big Vikings fan living in California, Scott, is. There is a formula to it.
Right. The home and away is determined by a formula. Like, it has nothing to do. They're not like, let's put these teams in London and then decide which one it is. They already knew. So the Vikings are home, so the Jets were always going to be a road team versus the Vikings. That has nothing to do with a decision that was made, right?
Yeah, and this is why I had major... This is why I think the Jacksonville Jaguars always get a real leg up here, because they play back-to-back weeks now in London. They choose to do this, yet only one of them counts as a home game. And so they're there, their bodies are acclimated, they get all the advantages of being in the same place for 2 weeks that your opponent doesn't, and that opponent loses a home game. Dexter Henry is here, he's got headlines for us. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
On Tuesday, the Angels, we're going to talk some baseball, they said they're shutting down the rehab for star Mike Trout after a recent setback in his recovery from meniscus surgery. Now, Trout had surgery on May 3rd to repair a torn meniscus in his left knee, but he hasn't played more than 119 games in any of the past 5 seasons because of various injuries. It's unclear whether or not the 11-time All-Star will return this season. Guys, are we at the point when we're talking about Mike Trout where the injuries are starting to overshadow his career and the player that was once considered the best in the game?
Oh, without a doubt. I'm wondering, do we ever get back to peak Mike Trout for more than 3 months?
When was peak Mike Trout?
I don't think America could care less about peak Mike Trout, even when he was at peak. An injured Mike Trout is almost the same as a healthy Mike Trout because he's stuck with the Angels. That's the bigger problem here. And the fact that he's always hurt. Can we just get, I think it's just the bad mojo of that team, and for many reasons, is rubbing off on him.
I mean, why he stayed, though. I get why he stayed. They kept handing him boatloads and gobs of money.
It's kept pulling up a truck to his house with dollar bills.
$500 million? Like, sure.
Even so, honestly, it is kind of a bummer historically that he's stuck there. Unless they do something radical, that team just can't win.
Yeah, this is like, you know, you always felt for Ernie Banks and the guys who played on really terrible teams and you never got to see them with a lot of postseason success. It's the same thing.
Some days kids are going to look back and be like, wait, they had Shohei and Mike Trout on the same team?
Yeah, that's the thing. They'll look back and then be like, Mike Trout didn't play a lot of games for a whole bunch of time. And you had Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, that's where you're going to look back. The history is not going to be as favorable for him, even though he was a great player. So it's very interesting.
Could have used him. He should have left and gone to the Phillies. The one chance he had, root for the Eagles. That's the only time we see Mike Trout is in the second row at the link. Why rooting for the Eagles?
Honestly,
this is kind of a wasted career. I feel terrible saying that, but it's a great career that we just don't get to enjoy.
Yeah, kind of have to agree. Let's go over to the NFL. The Vikings, they're moving forward in training camp, but what's going on with their quarterback situation? On Tuesday, head coach Kevin O'Connell, he gave an update.
Will at some point see JJ, you know, be consistently maybe getting a little bit more one reps there. But at the same time, I feel like Sam earned the right to take the bulk of those reps early on here without getting into depth charts and things like that. It's just a standpoint of how we need to practice, the comfort we're trying to build.
Okay, so right now Sam Darnold's getting the majority of the first team reps, and throughout the offseason, O'Connell, he's backed Darnold as the starter to open the season. Is Darnold starting the best move for the Vikes, or should it be J.J. McCarthy and just go with the rookie here?
I just go with McCarthy to me. And it's not because like I'm down on Darnold or anything like that. I'm just saying your expectations are, except for Scott in California, I think, who's the diehard bleeding Vikings purple. I think the expectations are muted this year. So it's not like you're throwing J.J. McCarthy into this, you know, like, cauldron of expectations or what have you, this like, you know, real, you know, tension filled situation. I think he actually is going to get a little bit of time, and you know, Justin Jefferson got his money. I think everyone's relatively happy, and Kevin O'Connell, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I think drafting a quarterback saved, you know, buys him some time. And I think generally it's a good environment for a rookie to be walking into when you don't have any expectations or very little from at least the outside. So why not just start him?
And he's got some weapons there. What do you say, bro?
I definitely go Darnold. Because, you know, partly because you just paid Justin Jefferson all this money. I actually want someone to throw him the football. I can't imagine that J.J. McCarthy's going to do anything as a rookie.
Have you seen Sam Darnold throw a football?
I've seen Sam Darnold with some big games. You know, he definitely can throw a football. The question is, can he throw it to the right team consistently?
Is it going to be the front row?
I just feel like, you know, you just paid all this money to Jefferson. You just got to have somebody who's going to hit him downfield. And I just cannot see J.J. McCarthy doing that off the bat. First of all, McCarthy's not old like Penix and Jaden Daniels. He's 21 still.
Yeah, but he had a lot of experience.
He's thrown like 19 passes in his entire life, Maggie.
I know, but I was told that the passes he did throw were amazing.
I don't know who told you that.
When I was down on McCarthy coming out of the draft, I was told, no, you've got to watch the third down throws. And every time he was asked to throw the ball, he looked like Joe Montana. So that's what I was told.
Jaden Daniels has thrown more left-handed passes in his college career than J.J. McCarthy threw. No, I don't think that. I think this is a great opportunity to sit a guy and let him learn. And generally, teams do it different ways. Patrick Mahomes had a year. I think this is a sit situation. Also, you're the Vikings. You were 13-4 with not a great team a few years ago. You have a good O'Connell's a good coach. Brian Flores is a great defensive coordinator. You could sneak some wins in here. I would go the veteran. I know, listen, you guys, there's some spurned Sam Darnold Jets fans here, but I think this is a situation to go veteran if I've ever seen one.
Well, my question is, you're going to sit and learn from a veteran. But Sam Darnold makes really silly mistakes.
Well, sit and learn just by watching the game, maybe not from Darnold. I think, you know, you're not learning necessarily. You're not there to pick up from Darnold. You're there to pick up from Kevin O'Connell and see what an NFL game looks like. See how you run it, maybe like simulate the game in your mind. If you throw him out immediately, what's J.J. McCarthy going to do with this team? Do you really have any expectation whatsoever?
Well, no, but that's why. It's like he doesn't. It's not like the offensive line is a disaster. You have one of the best left tackles in Christian Darrisaw, so you're not putting him out there with like a sieve where he's going to be in, I think, in a lot of danger. I think he's going to be able to protect himself. And in that case, I think that actually playing and throwing is going to be the best way for him to learn, not to watch Sam Darnold not be able to throw a 10-yard pass. Sorry, what else you got there?
No, that's good. All right, got another quarterback competition, because coming into NFL training camp, there was one 3-person quarterback competition, and that was with the Denver Broncos. Well, now it appears to be down to 2, because during Tuesday's training camp practice, Jarrett Stidham took reps with the first-team offense, despite it being Zach Wilson's turn in a rotation that also includes rookie Bo Nix, who received first-team work on Monday. When asked if Wilson would get any more opportunities with the first-team offense, head coach Sean Payton said, "We'll see." Mm-hmm. So, doesn't seem like it's a good look for Wilson, who likely has fallen behind Nix and Stidham, with the preseason on the horizon. So, guys, who do you think? I don't think this is the most exciting competition, yeah, but who wins the Broncos QB competition?
No one.
By the way.
No one. Not the fans, anybody. Wow.
Just the fact that Zach Wilson hung in the top 3 for that long is not a good thing.
Oh.
I think, actually, this is the opposite situation. I think Nix wins this one, even though I would start Stidham 10 times out of 10. For the same reasons I said start Sam Darnold, I think Nix, who's 100 years older than J.J. McCarthy,
he's like the same age as Sam Darnold.
And it feels like, even though Auburn Bo Nix was not steady at all, I feel like Bo Nix is a little steadier, more predictable. We've seen it. We don't know with J.J. McCarthy, so definitely Nix, in my opinion, gets out of here. And also, I've read that he's a big-time fan favorite. I don't know if Sean Payton cares about that, but I feel like Denver's going to be like, what are we doing with Jarrett Stidham?
I'm also in favor of starting Nix. He's in his mid-20s. I mean, let's see what you got. EJ, you had a thought on this.
I think you have to start Nix because, let's be real, the Broncos, probably one of the worst teams in the NFL. You're going to have to know right now if Nix is your guy. Like Maggie said, he's older, and this is a draft that could have some more good quarterbacks potentially at the top. There's one guy who plays right in their backyard who could be maybe in the mix to be a top pick in Shedeur Sanders. If Nix doesn't look like the guy's rookie year, I would not be shocked if the Broncos go back in the well for another quarterback. That's why he had to start week one.
Wow, that would be something if they did that. I mean, didn't they trade up to get Nix, if I'm remembering the draft correctly? They did trade up, right?
I thought they were sitting there.
I think he felt them.
Yeah, I think the Vikings had to move around for McCarthy.
Oh, it was the Vikings. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes.
So, yeah. My bad. So, okay, he falls to them, but you take a guy at 12, and then you might draft Shedeur over him at like 3 or 4 next year if you're that bad.
Well, I think it's a bad quarterback draft next year. So I think that.
But if you love Shedeur,
yeah,
who cares about the rest
why.
Of the class?
I mean, isn't Roger Goodell and everyone making sure that Shedeur goes to Dallas next year? Isn't that a fait accompli? How can he play in Denver and Dallas, EJ? I don't know.
One of those all-time QB things, like when you're playing in the backyard.
We had a caller yesterday who pitched that to us. Like, they're letting Dak go because Jerry. Oh, it was Dave. Because Jerry wants Shedeur there. I feel like that's a good argument with Denver being the backyard, but oh my God, America would be on the right track again if Shedeur Sanders had that star on his helmet and Deion was on the sideline. Let's go.
I mean, think about it. This would have to be, like, the last time we saw this was who? Josh Rosen?
Yep.
And I guess it's definitely worked out. I mean, Rosen totally flamed out of the league, so I guess it's definitely better that they have Kyler. It's just so rare. So rare.
I'm stunned nobody wants Zach Wilson's experience in a Broncos uniform.
You know, he is by a hundredfold the most starts out of that group.
He does?
Yeah.
I'm a big Stidham fan.
Look into those starts.
Yes.
How'd they go?
The Stidham's okay.
I'm talking about Wilson.
Oh, sorry, Zach. Yeah. No, believe me, everyone knows that. He definitely, of those three, I'll bet you he gets out there as the best arm. I'll bet you it's not even close. I mean, that guy can sling it. Once the game starts, though, just something goes totally haywire with him. But I think it's an interesting spot. Sean Payton, is he allowed to just have a free pass and have 5 wins this year? Their win total is 5.5. Is he really on a 5-year plan? Like, there's no 5-year plan in the NFL anymore. That's what I'm so confused about this whole thing. EJ says, draft another quarterback next year. That'll mean that this is Sean Payton's 3rd year and another quarterback? Like, is that at work in today's NFL? That seems so strange to me.
He's got one thing going for him, which is they traded for him. So it's like the team invested just to get Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of power because George Payton, the general manager, I don't think has done a great job here.
No, he's had very few draft picks because he traded them all for Russell Wilson. And the ones he's had have not hit off yet. No, you're right. You know, Sean Payton's, I think, the highest paid coach in any sport in America. He's $18 million a year. Highest NFL coach. I think, you know, not all coaches report. He's the single highest paid. But if he wins five games, I think we're going to kill Sean Payton.
Well, definitely should, especially if the quarterbacks look bad.
But why should he? He doesn't have any talent.
Well, but it's not zero talent.
It's zero talent.
Well, they took Bo Nix at 12 if he looks like he can play.
Pro Football Focus ranked him 32nd in the league in talent. That's as low as you can go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was the Wilson trade. And then they had to pay Wilson all his money this year.
And then he didn't get along with Wilson. Like, right, that's the other part, too. It's like, yeah, I think if Wilson ends up having a good year with Dexter's Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to make Peyton look even worse.
Well, we are going to get to that later in the show. If Russell Wilson has a good year, will it be in Pittsburgh? Dun, dun, dun. I mean, honestly, Sean Payton, a lot of things are keeping him up at night. Russell Wilson balling out in Pittsburgh is not one of them. Come on. You know that's not the thing.
855-212-4227. Dex, thanks so much. We will get into the Steelers quarterback competition in just a moment. But also, we got to look at college because we've been neglecting these college football transfers, Pearl, and who's going to have the biggest impact this upcoming season. Sit tight. We're going to do that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Talk a lot of NFL around here. Let's get to some college, Perloff, because it's time to start getting excited, especially about certain transfers who may change the conversation landscape, whatever you want to say, for their college football team. Which transfer are you most excited to see in college football this
year? Okay, I'm going to go off the board.
Okay.
And I don't even know if he wins a starting job. But there's a kid named Talen Green out of Boise State who went to Arkansas who's getting hooked up with Bobby Petrino.
Yep.
Bobby Petrino being back as the OC at Arkansas is crazy to me. And he's just a gigantic, incredibly fast runner. And I feel like he's going to, and I, by the way, I did steal this from our famous Pick Six podcast friend. They were talking about him and talking about how this is just an incredible setup for success at Arkansas. It's obviously a crazy situation there with Sam Pittman being on the hot seat. He is 125,000. So he's 125-1 Heisman odds. And you know how transfers are. I think sometimes transfers come out of nowhere and surprise.
That's true.
I'm throwing a fiver on that spot. We'll see.
I think he's starting.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to start. You never know. But he's not like not only one of the sure things like Cam Ward, but I think it's a really exciting. I love a tall, fast guy. Is always sort of a surprise. So I'm going to go with him. I admit playing some of our affiliates here.
We love Arkansas.
But I just it seems like an exciting opportunity. The SEC will get a lot of visibility. And Arkansas, it's, you know, they had KJ Jefferson. Remember we did the SEC quarterback draft a couple years ago?
Did.
We were all high on that guy to be great. But I think if you're doing a fantasy football draft for college football, he's an interesting guy. So that's the one I'm kind of keeping my eye on, though a little less obvious, a little under the radar.
Yeah, so Talen Green for Arkansas. And funny, KJ Jackson now also in that quarterback room. So another KJ, which is just interesting. Four-star from Alabama, Montgomery. So if you're asking me about the most the transfer I'm most excited to see, it's got to be Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. I mean, we saw what happened when Bo Nix, who had all this experience right. playing at Auburn, then went to Oregon, you know, took his career to the next level. Well, Dylan Gabriel is the next guy who was quarterback at UCF,
yep.
then went to Oklahoma last year, or the last 2 years rather, and now goes to Oregon yeah. and could be the next great Dan Lanning quarterback.
Right, but when you say excitement, I mean, isn't there a little fatigue? I remember in 2008 when he was third in Heisman, 2014 when he was really good, yeah. 2019. How can you be excited? The guy's been playing college football for the large part of my life. He's yeah. in his 23rd year.
Well, there was some other really sad news that happened with Dylan Gabriel. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but unfortunately his puppy, 6 months
no.
old, had some kind of stomach ailment, and they had to put the dog to the Rainbow Bridge, as they say. And he was really emotional about it. I mean, this is like, now you can just play the season for the dog. You know, you got that extra motivation. I kid, but it's awful yeah. to lose a pet.
By the way, I'm a little scared. He's going to chase some of the Case Keenum all-time records because he's got a million touchdowns already.
And he, you're right, he's been playing forever.
He's had five seasons already. This is his sixth season.
What I'm most interested about the Dylan Gabriel thing yeah. is, could a guy who started at UCF and then went to Oklahoma, who's known to be a good college quarterback, does he go to Oregon and now become like this great pro prospect? Because now you're just an older guy playing against younger guys, you know? And this is some of the stuff we've talked about with some of these older QBs, and this comes up around draft time. Are they really this good, or have they just been around so much and they're playing against guys who are generally 19 and 20 years old? They just look a lot better, yeah. but they've already reached their ceiling. And I'm fascinated about Gabriel if he turns himself into this like first round draft pick.
I would do a show about he is not a first round draft
pick. I don't see, and that'd be yeah. interesting too, because yeah. now you got Oregon going into the Big Ten. So you got a major change there, major transition. There is a lot to be very excited for and interested in with this Dylan Gabriel move.
Yeah.
And you've got Dante Moore behind him, by the way, from UCLA.
He's such a great college quarterback who doesn't seem to have a chance in the NFL. I mean, listen, there have been bigger surprises. He's obviously a Tua clone in so many different ways. I don't know if they went to the same high school, but they're from the same, they had the same coaches growing up. And he's got a hose, but he's just so short. So if, yeah, I just don't see him as an NFL prospect. I mean, then again, I never saw Bo Nix at Auburn as an NFL prospect. You get in the right system, maybe. And I think he's going to kill it in that offense. He's going to be great. I think he's a Heisman front runner right now. No, not a pro.
Interesting. I'm going to take you up on that show, Ben.
He's Kellen Moore.
I've got the duck suit ready to roll.
Will you really do that?
I will really wear the duck suit. I think he's going to go. He's definitely going to get drafted. Can I get the first round and a half?
No, I will bet he's not a first-round pick.
All right, I'll take it. People love Oregon. Teams love Oregon. And there's not going to probably be a ton of quarterbacks, so he's going to get elevated in the process.
What are you talking about? Who are the other Oregon pros? You got Mariota. My guy Dennis Dixon got drafted in like the fourth round.
Justin Herbert.
Oh, Herbert. Yeah, that doesn't count. He's legit. I'm talking about these system quarterbacks at Oregon. Yeah, I don't know. Jeremiah Masola is playing somewhere in Canada right now. He was awesome.
Can I give you another transfer I'm very excited about? I generally am not a massive Notre Dame fan, but Riley Leonard is going to be interesting there. If he really can run like how he was at Duke before he got hurt, and he's this real dual threat quarterback, that's going to be interesting. You and I had Phil Steele, who does this great college football preview book magazine that he puts out every year. Notre Dame, very good, definitely a college football playoff team. And if Riley Leonard is healthy, this creates a whole new dynamic that the Sam Hartmans were never able to do. So this is going to be very fun.
I think Sam Hartman was a very good college quarterback.
No, he was good, yeah. but not this is the dual threatness was
yeah,
not his thing like Leonard.
I just worry about the health. I mean, two ankle surgeries, that's bad news. So,
yeah, but this day and age,
I don't know.
Medicine, Pearl.
We were just talking about Mike Trout can't get on the field. I just feel like he had a second surgery this spring on his ankle. That's really scary to me. Feels like if he's going to be a mobile quarterback there, listen, anybody who has a great high school basketball YouTube reel like Riley Leonard,
yeah.
I'm all about. You yeah. know that.
That's always your tiebreaker.
And I actually, I was really into Duke football last year to watch. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah,
I'm just
Mike
nervous
Elko,
about
it. It was fun.
Yeah, I'm really nervous about his health there. And I hope he's good. I mean, Notre Dame has such a great opportunity to make the playoff this year because they have so much talent.
Do you know who's the offensive coordinator? It's not supposed to be a pop quiz, but the offensive coordinator for the Fighting Irish this year is Mike Denbrock, who was LSU's offensive coordinator last year. Mm. I mean, this is going to be some fun offense if he's healthy.
Here.
That Notre was Dame? Explosive.
Notre Dame, you really think that they're going to open it up?
Well, that's what I'm excited to see. Let's see if we switch it up a little bit.
I would not count on that. I don't know why. I'm just so ingrained in Notre Dame being kind of, you know, like Notre Dame.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. We'll see. They probably will make the playoff this year, but it's one thing to make the playoff. It's another to win. I would not, if we're doing a fantasy draft again, I would not take Riley Leonard. His second ankle surgery was the end of March. Can he really be like fully fluid and mobile? I you say that.
That's why this is different than Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins coming off these lower body injuries when they're 35 and 40.
Oh, so you're saying the age.
Yeah, come on. He's good. We're going to be okay here. I'm not a big Notre Dame fan, but I'm excited about this.
All right. We'll see. I'm definitely not putting my Heisman bet on that guy.
You and I now have a bet whether Dylan Gabriel will be a first round pick.
Yeah, good thing, by the way, EJ couldn't chime in with Cam Ward. Listen.
From the home studio.
The Miami Hurricanes fan, don't pull up his mic. I'm claiming Cam Ward as my guy.
I like that Cam Ward, not intimidated at all by Shedeur Sanders, you know, going back at him a little bit. Coming up, it's Wednesday. We do the great debate around here.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.